It's a joy and pleasure to be here this morning. Most of you know, last Sunday I wasn't able to be here. Seems like it's an ongoing issue with me on the gallbladder issues, so covet your prayers and all of that. We met with the surgeon on Tuesday, and it appears like probably the best remedy would be to remove it. So we're working on that probably towards the middle of April sometime. So it's not one of those things that is enjoyable, etc. But sometimes we have to do what's necessary to be able to function and continue on. So when it knocks you down for a whole week, that becomes a little tough. So appreciated all your prayers, your thoughtfulness and input on our behalf in all of that. Maybe we could kneel together if you're able to. Let's kneel together, have a word of prayer together. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, we come to you this morning. We bow our knees physically, but Lord, most of all in our hearts, we bow before you. You are the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Lord, you are returning again someday. We look forward to that appearing. Help us to not have our hand in the cookie jar, Lord, but to have our lives clear before you so that we truly could love your appearing. Would you work in us this morning, your will, your purposes, Lord? Sanctify our hearts. Sanctify our actions, our thoughts, our words. Pray, Lord, that you would feed us the bread of life this morning. Let the word of God be rich to our souls and would minister to the very needs of our hearts. And as a congregation, God, we look to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. We put our trust and our confidence in you. Thank you for redemption through the precious blood of Jesus. None of us would be here today had it not been for that precious blood that was shed to take away our sin and the sins of the world. So thank you this morning. We look to you and trust the message to you. Lord, give me the ability to communicate the things that you've laid upon my heart. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your songbooks to number 508. Number 508. And Brother Reuben, if you could lead that there, I would appreciate that. I trust you believe that with all your heart. That burdens are lifted at Calvary. How many of you have ever carried a burden? And I'm talking about on your hearts. You've carried a burden. That's something. If you're a Christian today, then you know what a burden feels like. Because before you became a Christian, you had a burden. And it was the burden of sin upon your shoulder. And it weighed upon your heart and weighed upon your conscience that things are not right and things are not settled between you and God. And if you're here this morning and you still are under that burden of sin, burdens are lifted at Calvary. So many of us, we know what burdens feel like. We also know what it feels like when the burden is lifted. Amen? I think just as many hands should go up. You know when the burden was lifted. And you know how that feels as well. Can you describe to me this morning in different words what it's like to feel a burden or have a burden upon your heart? Just words.
Heavy.
Heavy. Guilt. Hopeless. Confused thinking. Condemned. No rest. Bad. Just doesn't feel good. Burdens. Dark. Something that's pressing on your heart, right? A load. And maybe we should just take it a step further and talk about what are some of those burdens? What are some of those burdens that sometimes we carry? I mentioned one already, of course, the burden of sin. But are there other burdens that sometimes we carry? It may not be the burden of sin. And burdens in itself is not necessarily a bad thing or a wrong thing, although if you're carrying the burden of sin, it needs to be taken care of. But there are other burdens sometimes that we carry upon our hearts as well that are good burdens. They're actually good for us. And they're good for us to carry. But what are some of these burdens that we may sometimes be carrying?
Responsibilities?
Yes. These burdens are God-given. Yes. Souls of the lost. Those who are lost in sin. Personal needs might be a burden. Very good. Concerns that our children would grow up to love the Lord. These are healthy burdens to bear, to carry. Yes.
Seeking a path forward.
Seeking a path forward. It can be in a lot of different areas. Be a burden on our hearts that we choose a right path. Yes.
What is the difference between those two types?
In what way were you thinking? Something in between.
There's a lot of times people bear burdens that they don't think they're sin, but they also don't fit what we're just talking about.
Yes. Sometimes we bear burdens that maybe don't fit in, quote, the sin category, but neither do they fit in the ones that we've been talking about. But they are burdens, and they weigh us down. I think actually it probably does tend to lean. Some of those tend to lean, if the ones I'm thinking of anyway, tend to lean towards the sin side of things. Doubt, fears, all these kind of things, you know. And they tend to push us towards sin versus freedom. Was there another hand here? Yes. Yes. Sometimes we sense that there's a lack in our soul and that we need a closer walk with God, and it puts a burden on our hearts, and that's a good burden to have. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 for just a little thought here as we think about about bear ye one another's burdens. There's something that happened in Luke chapter 6 that I want to relate to us about in the area of bearing one another's burdens. Jesus went to the synagogue in Luke chapter 6, verse 6, and it says, "It came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. And then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other." Now, what does that have to do with bearing one another's burdens? Well, there's some key elements and some key words and some key things that took place here that is good for us to consider in light of bearing one another's burdens. In bearing one another's burdens, if we could pose the question this way, how will I know how to bear your burden if you never share it? All right? Place that there in your heart a bit to think about. Now come back to this man. He had a withered hand. I don't know what all was going on in this man's heart. It doesn't tell us. But it was probably a hand that wasn't looking very nice. Shriveled up. I don't know what a withered hand for sure looked like. Maybe it was even missing a few elements already. But it was shriveled up. And maybe he had it tucked in underneath his coat, his robe that he probably had on. And in the synagogue, you remember how synagogues looked. There was, basically, it was a square rectangular room, and all the way around the room there was stones set up where you could sit, and there was the upper class seats, and there was the lower class seats, and so forth, all the way around the synagogue. The speaker would stand in the middle and he could speak to the whole crowd. I don't know where this man was. I take it he was probably back in the corner somewhere. Because he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and he was there in the synagogue, but he had this withered hand. And, you know, just like all of us, we don't like to stand out. But Jesus called this man forward. Stand up. Rise up, he told this man. And stand forth. Rise up and stand forth in the midst. He called him out into the middle. Here's all these people now gathered around. And then Jesus, of course, had this question. It seemed like the context here was Jesus was trying to lay a foundation that it's okay to heal on the Sabbath day. We're not going there. Here this morning, we're talking about the man with the withered hand specifically. But this man, Jesus Jesus then asked this man, he said, stretch forth your hand. There's something about doing that. It's that, you know, this man could have had all kinds of excuses why not to stretch his hand out. This thing's ugly. I don't want anyone to know. I don't want anyone to see this thing. It's too gross. It's too gruesome. Jesus, why are you asking me to stretch forth my hand? You could just heal it just as well under my robe as anywhere else. But it was that simple act of laying that thing out here. And then it was healed. And I say that to say this, that some of us carry burdens, but we're not willing to stretch forth our hand. And why do I say that? I say that because I've been there myself. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. This is where this phrase is found. In America, we are a very independent people. We are a very independently thinking people. We like to do things ourselves and to receive help from somebody else. I'm not sure what it is about us, but that's demeaning almost, to receive help or acknowledge that I have a need. Now, we might acknowledge we have a need, but to receive help is hard for us. And I don't understand why it is all of that way. Not as I look into the scriptures and I see the blessing and the benefits that we could have. Now, I realize there's a ditch way on the other side of this whole thing where everyone, where someone is constantly, always just, you know, on the negative side of life and dwelling there and everything's bad and everything's, you know, there's never an upbeat. That's not what he's talking about when he's talking about bearing one another's burdens. And also, that's not what I'm speaking of in bringing our burdens to light. Let's read here in Galatians chapter 6, the first 10 verses. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Here's the verse, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Faith Christian Fellowship. Amen. Yes, and even beyond that. Let us do good unto all men, especially they who are of the household of faith. In me sharing this message, I'm not here saying that we don't know how to do this, that we really need exhortation how to do this. All I'm wanting to share with us here this morning is that this is a beautiful way to have church. This is what church is really, one of the things that church is all about. Bearing one another's burdens. And I remember being in the hospital with our son and a number of years ago, and I remember different others that were there. And we continuously were getting visitors and people coming and sharing and praying with us and supporting us. And what a blessing. That was bearing one another's burdens. But I also, my heart went out to others that were laying there day after day after day, and they only maybe saw maybe one, two people, you know, and in that whole time frame. And I say, why? Why is that? And I thought about how that I've heard the cry from others who have said, we have no one. We have no one. When we're down and in the dumps and things are all going bad for us, we have no one to turn to. We hardly have any friends. And the friends that we do have, they'd never even touch us to help us. I just want to say this. We have something that we need to value, to bear one another's burdens. Verse 2 says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Can someone tell me, what was the law of Christ? Yes. To love one another. That was the new commandment. To love one another. Is there 10 commandments or is there 11? I just heard that here some not too long ago. Is there 10 commandments or is there 11? And there's one commandment. Well, there is one commandment. Jesus emphasized on that commandment that fulfills all the other commandments. But in a sense, there's 11 commandments because Jesus added a new one. He said, and this is the new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And that was the command to the disciples. So in fulfilling the law of Christ, we have a tremendous opportunity to fulfill the law of Christ by bearing one another's burdens. And there's some physical, physical actions that transpire when we bear one another's burdens. And it fulfills the law of Christ. It fulfills this loving one another. Jesus also said we should love our neighbor as ourselves. If you notice here in the latter part of what I read here in verse 10, as ye therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, even our neighbors, and especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The law of Christ will not allow us to reproach the offender. The law of Christ will not allow us to taunt him or to rejoice in his fall, but rather we bear one another's burdens. Now here in verse 5, maybe some of you caught this as we were reading. In verse 2, he says, bear ye one another's burdens. Verse 5 says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, some of us, we like to do that. And we don't like to get our hand out there and say, I have a need. Okay? The Bible says we should bear our own burden. Uh-huh. So we're it's scriptural here. We can tuck this thing away underneath and not let it be revealed. Let me share something with you as I was studying this that was enlightening to me. This burden in verse 2 is one thing. This burden in verse 5 is completely something different. So as I pondered and as I studied into it, the one in verse 2 is more what we were generally talking about, bearing one another's burdens. Verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. It's a complete different Greek word, not related to the other one. And it has to do and has the idea of an invoice. Now, what does that mean? that it has to do with an invoice. Now, if you're in business, you know what an invoice is. If I go over here to Trail Tire and I buy some tires, Brother Dirk there, he writes me an invoice, right? The amount on the bottom is due me. I purchased these tires. It's the law of sowing and reaping. You know, I got this, I pay this. That's just part of the plan. Every man bears his own burdens. Now, I'm not sure that I'm here to dialogue all of that and what all the difference is between the two, but there is a difference there in that, you know, there are things, for instance, if I am reckless with my health and my diet and I come down with, whatever I'm struggling with, but it is directly related to my intake and so forth. But my health is really suffering. You know, there is a place for me, I believe, and for all of us to even work together with that we can bear one another's burdens, even in some of that. But there's a point in time where I feel like there's also a law of sowing and reaping. And we just have to reckon with that fact. Now, there are things outside of that that happen to us that are burdens. And we can't really help it. Things happen to us. I don't know if I'm making myself clear in all of that. But do you follow what I'm saying? There's consequences. He talks about this law of sowing and reaping as he goes on down through. That there are consequences for things that we do and so forth. But I'm going to leave that for now. He's not contradicting himself in these verses at all. In the Old Testament, there was a man who had a tremendous burden placed on him one day. He had some friends, and when they heard of what had happened to him, their compassion reached out to him. And they came to his place where he was, and when they saw him, they didn't even recognize him. He was so under this burden and the things that had transpired and had happened to him. They sat down with him in sackcloth and ashes, and they sat with him for 7 days and didn't say a word. I don't know how that would go, Laban. Appreciate your honesty there about listening. I mean, how would that be just to sit there for 7 days and see the agony of this poor man? Job, who had lost everything except his wife and himself, and then he had lost his health on top of it. They sat with him. Astonished, speechless for 7 days. What a tremendous way to bear one another's burden. It was so bad that even his wife said, "Curse God and die." It was so bad. None of us have had anything close to that. But you know, God had a purpose for what he allowed in Job's life, did he not? Do you believe God has a purpose in what he allows in our lives? Disappointments, his appointments. I appreciate that. God had a purpose. God has a purpose for what we face. We can become either bitter or bettered by the circumstances he allows. Now, something I'd like to just lay clearly upon our hearts is that the heart of God is to set us free from carrying our burdens alone. That's the heart of God, and I believe that's one of the reasons he puts this in Galatians here, that bear ye one another's burdens. Now, we also sang the song, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." I'd like to also read us a few other verses that would indicate that it is the heart of God to set us free from carrying these burdens alone. This is one of them, but there are some others. Isaiah 58, verse 6, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Then we have Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, where he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you believe that? Are you heavy laden? And if you're heavy laden this morning, are you accepting and receiving the invitation that you don't have to bear that burden alone? Jesus says, he invites us to come. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest. Someone said here at the beginning about burden, about carrying burdens, and a description of that is no rest. Jesus said, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll still carry a burden, but it's going to be carried with Jesus, and it's going to become light. Being yoked together with Jesus is to pull a light load. I've wondered, how do people who don't have the Lord, how do they cope with things? Well, I think it's evident in the world, they don't cope. They don't cope well. They turn to alcohol. They turn to drugs. Especially so in our day. Drugs is a big thing. Or they do like the man who said, well, if someone smiles, I won't do it. But no one smiled to him, and he jumped off the bridge just to end it all, he thought. So he thought. That doesn't end it all. That only is the beginning of tremendous sorrows. Psalm 55, verse 22 says, cast thy burden. That word burden means your lot in life. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I love that verse. Cast thy burden, thy lot in life, the things that are affecting you right now. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And guess what? There's a promise there that he shall sustain thee. So how does this look like? What does this look like when we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ? There's three areas I'd like to consider. First one is personal. Personal burdens that we may carry. Back in January of this year, I had this issue come up where my leg was all swollen up, and it was very painful to walk, red spots. Wasn't sure what all was going on. The same leg also had a burn on top of the foot that I had received from a welder, a hot bead of weld dropping off, burning through my shoe and right through my socks, right into my foot before I could get my shoe off. And this thing was festering and hadn't been healing and so forth. And I tried various things, especially with the swelling and things, to try to get the circulation going and so on, but it just wasn't going away. And it went on a few weeks that way. And then one evening as I was getting ready to retire for the night, the thought came to me so clear. Why don't you share your need at brothers' meeting? This was just like a day or two before the brothers' meeting and just ask for an anointing for that. Well, at first I kind of wanted to push that thought away and make excuses. You know, I don't want to bother others with my problems, my difficulties. You know, we have enough to talk about at brothers' meetings usually, right, brothers? We have enough to talk about at brothers' meetings. Is it really bad enough? I could just try a little longer and maybe I could see if it'll go away. Those are all thoughts that roll through my mind. And you know, those are very real thoughts that come to us. But it was very inevitably stamped into my mind, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And while I didn't want to pull out my withered hands, I felt very strongly that, you know, how am I going to receive help? How can my brothers help me bear my burdens if I don't share them? That just was etched into my mind and heart. And we went ahead with sharing that and you brothers praying and bearing my burdens there. And you know, God moved. The burn is completely healed. It's been healed. Just like the same, by the end of that week, the circle out around, it was just amazing to see it disappearing. And I had spent weeks trying to nurture this thing back to health. But all kinds of salve and bandages and all this. And thank God. And I think it was about a week later, I think the swelling had all went away and pretty much back to normal. There's still circulation issues and so forth from the broken leg I had, but bearing one another's burdens, what a blessing. Look what I'd have missed out on had I not been willing to humble myself, pull out the withered hand. Why is it so hard for us to admit our needs? How can we bear each other's burdens when I just grin and bear it alone? I think we miss out on what God intends. You know, it's humbling to confess. It takes honesty. Maybe it's a fault that we have. Maybe it's an area that we're defeated in. That's the withered hand for you and I, maybe. An area of defeat in your life. Or it's something that no one else knows about. I had one of those situations, and I know I've related it here before. But I think it bears worth repeating in that there was a burden upon my heart in my teenage years. There were some things that had happened earlier on in life that were moral issues and things that I never opened up and brought to the light with my parents. While I had felt like I had God's forgiveness for it, and that's the excuse I used, and yet it seemed like there was a time when I came up against something spiritually, and I couldn't get beyond it. I knew there was a need in my life to draw closer to the Lord, and you young people that go to Bible schools and so forth, I think that's wonderful. But it didn't help me. I came up against a block. And God specifically laid his finger on that area of my life and said, he was just nudging me, open it up. Open it up to your parents. Talk about it. Get it clear. Get it out in the light. But I was struggling with that thing. I don't know how long. It wasn't immediately, and I'm ashamed to say that because when I finally came to the place one Sunday morning, I was sitting in the service, and God again just put his finger right there. And I said, okay, I'll take care of it. And I did. What was I waiting on? The joy and the peace of bringing things to light. Those are personal burdens that sometimes we bear and we bear and we bear. And you bring it to the light and it goes away. It hasn't bothered me since. Thank God. But it's humbling to confess and to be honest. There's nothing more freeing than to walk in the light. It makes you feel like singing when your heart is free. You know, it's a hard life to hide, to always try to appear right on the outside when you know there's things on the inside that are not right. We only fool ourselves to think that we can hide the thing. I've got the withered hand. It's a personal burden. It's a personal need. It's a defeat in my life. But I won't bring it out and stretch forth my hand. There's many other personal burdens, I'm sure, that we could talk about. Let's move on to family. So I think about our families and bearing one another's burdens. This is a tremendous opportunity and blessing that we can have in family life together. This thing of bearing one another's burdens isn't confined to these four walls and the people within them. This thing of bearing one another's burdens in our own families, what a blessing we can have and fulfill the law of Christ in the midst of that. If you're married, you understand this morning the verse there that the Solomon, I think it was, who said, two are better than one. Two are better than one. Why is that? I think most of us who are married understand that a bit more. That two are better than one. When I was by myself and when I was single, when I was discouraged, it was tough. And it's still tough when I'm discouraged. But two are better than one in that when one is down, the other one can help bring up his fellow. And that works that way between husband and wife. What a blessing. And many times, God chooses that only the one is down and the other one can help the other one back up. Take courage. What a blessing to have each other, to take time to hear each other out and share the load together. There's burdens. There's things that weigh upon our hearts. That's how God would have it between husband and wife. And it's amazing how you can think, you can go to sleep and the burdens are shared and you've talked through things and things are at a restful place. And the next day, amazingly, by the end of the day, the wife can feel a bit frazzled by the end of the day, and there's more burdens, and there's more sharing, there's more communicating back and forth, and the burdens become lifted again. That's God's design. We have so many opportunities to bear these burdens with each other in a close, confidential way, sharing hearts. You know, your spouse already knows you pretty well, right? They know your weaknesses, your strengths. And it's a blessing to openly communicate and to share your struggles, your failures, and help each other through those negative attitudes. You know what those are, those negative attitudes. To help each other. To look on the brighter side of life. The cup is half full. Or is it half empty? No, it's half full. We're going forward. It's teamwork. It's pulling together. Tell me, what happens when there's a load to be pulled Let's say, for instance, there's a horse that's pulling a load, and the load is too heavy for the horse. So the owner gets another horse and links them together, and now they pull the load. What has just happened? They're sharing the load, right? Doesn't that work that way as husband and wife in our families? When you open up your heart to each other, here's the burden on my heart. Here's something that's been affecting me today. You know, it was the flat tire. It was the breakdown. It was the this and the that and the other thing. But when you open your heart and share it with one another, there's something, it's lifting. It's lifting. It's teamwork. It's pulling together. And then we add children in on this. We've all heard the phrase, many hands make light work, meaning that when we all pull our share of the work load, that it's not hard for anyone. We all pull together. And as parents, I know that we treasure those times of working together on a project together, and there's time to talk, and there's time to share, and there's time to do this work together and enjoy each other's company and so forth. And children, it's such a blessing when you put your hand to the plow and you help your parents in the work, in the loads, in the burdens, the responsibilities that they carry. That's a tremendous blessing. It's a joy when you pitch right in there and you pull your share of the workloads. Maybe you're not even asked to do it. Do you know how that thrills your mom and dad's heart? Wow. They just cleaned up the living room. Mom didn't even say they had to. It just happened. What a blessing, right? And God has designed the family to be a safe place for children to mature, develop, and help each other through the tough things. In family, you know each other pretty well, right? You siblings, you know your other siblings' weaknesses. That's family. God's designed it that we can grow up in a safe habitation, in a safe place where we can bear each other's burdens a bit. In a family setting, in relationships, where we give some space to each other, right? Maybe the manners aren't very well, and maybe there's a need for some teaching about manners. But can we bear with each other and bear one another's burdens? Those unrefined areas, can we bear one another's burdens there? Encourage one another with the struggles of growing up. Is it a struggle to grow up? Yeah. Yeah, there's struggles in growing up. There's struggles from leaving childhood and becoming a man. Paul said, you know, that he puts away childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, in between that time frame, there's some struggle that goes on in a young man's heart, in a young lady's heart. When's the time to lay down the doll babies? When is that time, you know? I'm not here to say there's a time exactly, but there is a time to become a woman, to become a man. There's a time. I think sometimes we like to hang on to our childhood as long as we possibly can. There's a place to just let go. Some of these things can be a burden. Children, sometimes your siblings become an irritation to you. Look at it as an opportunity. And instead of it being a source of irritation, look at it as an opportunity to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which means I love them. They have some flat spots. But consider ourselves, like the first part says, here says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, that could be your sibling, says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Well, that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to tell him that he should keep his mouth shut when he chews his food because it's so irritating. No, you that are spiritual, you know, we think of these verses way up here somewhere. And sometimes they're right here beside us, right at the dinner table. And while they might need to learn some manners, why, what about me? How can I bear that burden? How can I bear and that fault that's there? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You might be doing the same thing, just in a different way. That can be grating on people. Lord, help us with these things. But I believe it's God's design that there be open communication between parents and children. That's God's design. That's part of bearing one another's burdens. You know, it's a two-way street. Both you as parents sharing with your children and your children opening their hearts to you as well. But you know, there's something that has to happen before some of that can take place sometimes. First, that there's nothing that's hidden. When there's hidden things, when there's a hiding, like I was sharing about earlier about my own life, it hinders that open relationship. Nothing hidden. Not doing things behind your parents' back. You know, if you got your hand in the cookie jar and mom shows up. Yeah, we don't love that appearing, do we? Because my hand is in the cookie jar. But if we're doing things behind our parents' backs, what does that do in the relationship? We already know, right? We already know that puts a barrier there that I can't freely and openly share my heart. But when all is clear and wide open, it makes for a beautiful relationship together. Sharing struggles, your trials, your failures. And it works both ways, even with us as parents. You know, we parents, we're not perfect. I think most of us have come to that. There might be a few perfect parents in this room who don't have children yet, maybe. But once we have children, somehow we begin to realize our imperfections. And that they're pretty real and outstanding and so forth. But we as parents, we're not perfect. You may have parents who love you, but have things they're working through themselves. Be patient. It's always right to give honor and respect to our parents, even if they're not perfect. It's always right to honor and respect them. And most parents want a relationship with their children. And I think I could say the same for the children. Most children want a relationship with their parents. Let's think about church life just briefly here. Like I said here, I think some of these things are all intertwined into each other. And so it's hard to separate these things. But in church life, you know, if we're practicing this thing on a personal level and on a family level, it's probably not very hard on a church level to have this bearing one another's burdens. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. How? You have love one for another. And that bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ is that very thing. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. When they look on and they say, oh, this is something different here. How they love one another. You search me out any other religion besides, and I'm using this very loosely, but Christianity. You search out any other religion, you do not have this. This loving one another. this caring for one another, this bearing one another's burdens, it's missing. When we have love one for another, we bear one another's burdens. That's certainly a part of it. How can we do that at a church level? And it was back in January, if I may draw from your situation there, Dirk, when your father passed away. That was one of those situations that I bless you as a congregation here for how that you reached out to bear the burden of that passing. And we made the 7-hour trip to be there and just to be a part of that and to show our care, show our love, and show our concern. And as Brother Dirk shared later, you know, different ones coming with tears in their face. We never seen anything like this. That should be normal for us. It should be normal for God's people. This is not some unusual thing. There is something about being on the receiving end of this thing of bearing one another's burdens that opens up your understanding in a larger way and appreciation to how can I reach out? How can I minister to someone else that's hurting, that's going through a deep valley, that's going through a very hard time? What are some things we can do on a church level? You know, showing love softens a heart like nothing else will. It softens a heart. When there's a disaster, when there's a fire, yes, brother, when there's a fire, when there's a disaster that's happened, when there's an accident, when there's trouble, when there's sickness, and we all see what we can do to lessen the load, to make the load lighter, that's bearing one another's burdens. Love in action speaks a more powerful message many times than any well-prepared sermon. Just simple love in action. When you find yourself defeated and you're not living in victory and you open your heart and life and you ask your brother or your sister for some accountability, that's bearing one another's burdens. Maybe it's fixing a meal for an overloaded mom. That's bearing one another's burdens. Maybe it's your sisters getting together and cleaning that busy mom's home. Just simply, she's just not had time to catch up. She's got 5, 6 little ones, and her time is full. And so you get together just to bless her for that. That's not demeaning to do that, but that's helping bear one another's burdens. Maybe it's just making that phone call and asking, how's your day going today? Just simply because we care. I was just thinking about you. So we're exhorting one another daily in that way. We're bearing one another's burdens. And there's opportunities to pray for each other. Young people, make it your mission. Make it your mission to pray for your leaders, to pray for your parents, to pray for the church. Make it your mission. It's part of bearing one another's burdens. Church is way more than a service on Sunday morning like this morning or on a Wednesday evening. Church is way more than that. Bearing one another's burdens is a part of church life. Well, in closing, there's many other opportunities. Just look around. Just look around. Sometimes we have to look beyond ourselves. We should be the ones looking out. I was blessed here. Oh, when was it? It wasn't too long ago, someone fixed a dish for us men, and it was a real blessing because it was bearing one another's burdens, and it just meant a lot. Thank you for doing that. You may know who you are, but I just want to bless you for that because it's a part of bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Am I doing all I can? Am I doing all I can? We get so wrapped up in our own things sometimes that we forget others. We forget to look out beyond our own nose, if I could use that term. And we get so nearsighted, we can only see ourselves. But it does something to us when we look out and beyond and we see the needs of others and we reach out in the small way that we can to bless someone else. We fulfill the law of Christ that way. We may not attain to all these things in one day, but I'd like for us to catch a vision of what we could have. Maybe what I need or what I'm weak in. Most of all, we also have Jesus' invitation. Are you burdened? We have Jesus' invitation. Come unto me. You know, burdens are still lifted at Calvary. I'd like to finish with a story. Henry Morehouse, when engaged in a work that seemed to call upon him for more than usual exercise of faith, received what seems like a most tender answer from God. His little daughter, who was paralytic, she was paralyzed, was sitting in her chair as he entered the house with a package in his hand for his wife. Going up to her and kissing her, he asked, "Where's mother?" "Mother's upstairs." "Well, I have a package for her." The little daughter answered, "Let me carry that package to mother." The father answered, "Why, Minnie, dear, how can you carry that package? You can't carry yourself." With a smile on her face, Minnie said, "Oh, no, Papa. But you can give me the package, and I will carry the package, and you will carry me." Taking her up in his arms, he carried her upstairs, and little Minnie, and the package too. And then it came to him that this was just his position in the work in which he was engaged. He was carrying his burden. But was not God carrying him? "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." God bless each of you.